Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price. And it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
See, now you're just stacking the deck in LZ's favor. You're playing one of his chips as rejoin. This is not cool at all.
This ain't right.
I see what you're doing, Jorge. I see what you're doing.
Travis,
this is one of our songs, man.
Those nooses have always been there. That wasn't getting into Bubba Wallace.
Right. I had a couple of my friends were criticizing my list when they were sending me some texts, and they did bring up a good suggestion that I should have had. I should have taken Robert Palmer's "Addicted to Love" because that was important to me at the time. The women with the slick back
hair. I think his price still is important to you.
Well, it is. I don't know who's listening, so I need to be a little bit careful. But it was, and always will be. So probably should have put "Addicted to Love" in there. But we'll see. The Lakers are going to have to.
You know what's crazy?
Yes. What?
Nothing. Cut you off, but I just did. Barkley's lie. So we were talking about grunge, and I was thinking about, you know, my youth and, you know, how I was in college doing this hype. And I remember where I was when Smell Like Teen Spirit first aired on MTV. Mm-hmm. I remember where I was when I saw, you know, Pearl Jam and the whole nine. And when you think about the lead singers from the grunge era, you know, many of them are gone.
Yeah.
Like they've done either from drugs,
Soundgarden,
or from suicide. Soundgarden, exactly, Chris Cornell. But then, just check this out. But then I was like, well, Eddie Vedder is still alive, so that's great. You know, Eddie's still around. But the kid, the actor who played Jeremy in the video is dead.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he passed away.
Bringing us down, terrible drug accident.
I mean, I didn't mean to bring it down, but it's just kind of weird, you know, that through line that genre of music has had for whatever reasons.
Yeah, that is a very specific time. You know, you and I are roughly the same age. You hear one of those Nirvana or Soundgarden songs, it feels like it's 1992 or 93 all over again. It just, bam, brings you right back.
Sure.
Absolutely. All right. The Lakers are going into the bubble. Everybody's going into the bubble, and the Lakers are going to have to do it without one of their starting players. Avery Bradley has opted not to rejoin the team, and he decided to do it for an incredibly good reason. He has a son, 6 years old, who has a history of difficulty recovering from respiratory illness. So as we all know by now, the coronavirus is a respiratory disease. He does not know if his son would be able to get cleared to go into the bubble in the first place. So he has decided to not go back with his team. It's a very difficult decision, as he explained. But the Lakers need to find a replacement for Avery Bradley because he decided that he's going to be with his family. And now they have a vacancy in their starting five.
Well, they do and they don't. Like, they have some guys that I believe, I don't know where you are on this, Travis, but they have some guys that I believe are close enough that they're almost interchangeable. Whether you're talking KCP, whether you're talking Alex Caruso. Now, obviously, Avery Bradley is a hell of a player, you know, mm-hmm. and Kyrie Irving, who we all know is a great offensive player, has said no one gives him trouble, a man-to-man defense like Avery Bradley. That's a hell of a compliment. In addition to that, Avery is someone who can knock down the three, but he's also someone who can put the ball on the ground and on the floor and get a little bit to the basket. He can hit that little mid-range jumper as well. So Avery statistically may not impress you, but just like Derek Fisher, he's someone you can rely on. He's someone in critical moments of the game, and we're going to miss that. But I think we got a couple of guys in Caruso as well as in KCP who are used to our rotation and who could, you know, do some similar things. And I would argue that Caruso is probably a better passer than Avery Bradley is. And certainly, you know, KCP, we know what he can do once his jumper starts falling and he gets loose. So I'm not too worried about it. I'm not thrilled about it because I know what Avery does, but I'm not too worried about that position. I'm more worried about the decision about who to bring in as his replacement off the roster. That's what I'm more concerned about, Travis.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. And I want to talk about who that might be because J.R. Smith is the name that gets bandied about the most. But I don't know if it's as easy as just, okay, we have Alex Caruso. We have KCP. You have those guys, but those guys play slightly different roles. I mean, the Lakers played 63 games before the season got shut down. Avery Bradley started 44 of those games. So Frank Vogel obviously thinks that he's bringing a certain something to that team that he's not going to have. I mean, this is a guy that's starting, you know, roughly two-thirds of the games along the way, and he's not going to be there. Sure, you can put Caruso in there and you can put KCP in there, but now all of a sudden those guys are either going to have to play more minutes or different minutes, and that leaves a hole where their old minutes used to be. So you kind of slide down. Eventually, somebody's going to have to go in and do something that maybe they weren't having to do before, which means you need to add somebody, which brings you to your point, LZ, and that's somebody that we hear the most is J.R. Smith. It makes perfect sense from a basketball. He can make shots. He's familiar with LeBron. He's familiar with playoff basketball in particular. That, you know, I know that everybody points to the moment where he forgot what the score was and screwed that up. And it wasn't a great moment, and there's no defending it. But this is a guy who's played in a million playoff games. He knows what that feels like, and he knows what to do in these situations. Then there's the J.R. Smith that we know about, who is kind of a wild card, a guy that maybe isn't the most reliable off-the-court guy that you could find to go in there. Maybe LeBron keeps him straight. Maybe it's a short period of time. It's just a couple of months in Orlando. But you were saying earlier, LZ, you think that his deal, to use my word, might outweigh his basketball ability in this particular situation because of the coronavirus and because of the bubble.
Well, yes. And it's not because I don't like JR. It's because he's got a history. And his history doesn't say he's a guy that you don't need to, like, worry about. His history doesn't say he's a guy who is going to see a player like maybe Alex Caruso want to run out to get some Gatorade. He's going to be the one that says, "No, dog, stay in here. We'll have someone bring it to us because we need it." He's not going to be that leader. He's not going to be that guy. And I'm not quite sure he's going to be that guy just for himself. Mm-hmm. And that worries me. That worries me because this is a communicable disease, virus. I keep calling it disease, virus. It's very easily transmissible. You can think you're doing the right things when you step off that campus and trying to make sure that, you know, you just kind of relieve some stress, whatever. But one slip up and you can have a situation that you had a close in. One slip up and you can have a situation where we're witnessing right now in the world of tennis, where the number one player in the world has affected other top tier players and God knows who else. And that's just one guy doing the wrong thing, not being precautious. And so the question really comes down to, do you trust him off the court? I trust JR on the court. I know some people question his boneheadedness play in game one of the finals, but also know he won a chip and he won a chip being an important piece. So I trust him on the court. I just wonder if he's going to be disciplined enough to stay safe, trapped in Orlando in that for months. You need a certain kind of mentality for I almost want to go and dust Dwayne Wade off. I don't know where he's at. I want to dust him off and see what he's doing first before I do that.
Yeah, it really does come down to personality, because if you tell me that you got to be in a bubble for a couple of months, I don't worry about LeBron James going out of the bubble. I don't worry about Anthony Davis going out of the bubble. I don't worry about Alex Caruso or any of the other Lakers or Dwight Howard, you know, going out of the bubble. Then there are guys, and J.R. Smith falls into this category, who you do worry about. And this is the part I don't quite get, because I am who I am. I am inherently a rule follower. If you tell me to do something, I'm probably going to do it. I am just the guy that if you say, "I need you here at this time, I'm going to be here at this time, I need you to stay here for this long, fine, I'll stay here for this long, and you can't go over there. Okay, fine. If that's what it is, you're going to pay me to do this, I'm all in. I'm your guy." We all know guys that you can say, "Hey, look, I need you to do this, and you can't go over there because that's risky for the variety." They're going to go over there, and it's going to be either A, because they just don't give a damn because they want to do what they do, or they think, "It's not that bad. Yeah. It's fine. Those guys don't know what they're talking about. I can get it. They won't even know I went over there in the first place." We all know those guys. And J.R. Smith might be one of those guys. This is the question that the Lakers, whether it's Frank Vogel or Rob Pelinka or LeBron James or whoever is the person that's going to sit down and have this conversation with them, you got to try to get a feeling of, we're not trying to ruin your fun. We're not trying to ruin your nightlife. We're not trying to ruin your ability to go out and meet new people, so to speak. What we're trying to do is win a championship. And if you go out to the local diner to get a cup of coffee, so to speak, you can bring this back and get all of us sick. It's not just a matter of you getting right. to have to sit in your room and play Xbox and order room service for 2 months. I get it. It's boring and it's going to be difficult for mental health and all these other things. But if you go, we're not doing it to punish you. We're doing it so you don't give LeBron and Anthony Davis and Alex Caruso and KCP and Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, you can't give them the coronavirus. If you go over there, that I need to get an answer to that, because I'm not trying to ruin your nightlife. I'm trying to win a championship, and you need to understand the difference between those two things and understand that that means you can't sneak out or go do what you want to do because you don't think it's a big deal.
Exactly. And, you know, we already, you know, have someone in Deion Waiters who's had an episode that, you know, made people nervous. You know, we're going to have to keep our eye on him. And then you're going to think possibly add J.R. Smith. You know, it's like, again, I like them as players, hands down. I've spent something close to nothing in terms of time with them. So I won't speak of their characters because I don't know. All I know is their history. All I know is what they've done and whether or not it projects into what they're likely to do going forward. And Deion Waiters, you know, he had his episode. He's also done some other things that were sort of boneheaded, but he's been a really young player in his league when a lot of that stuff happened. J.R. Smith is older, has a longer record in terms of questionable behavior. And I don't know if LeBron James and AD and Rondo can just be like, bam, we're leaders. We got this. Our guys aren't going anywhere. I don't know. That really is a true inside basketball sort of conversation. I just know, as someone who's been around this league for a long time, someone who's on the outside looking in but is a pretty good reporter, I just know the things that I've heard over the years makes me question if he's going to be that disciplined for that long and that he won't put himself at risk and hence put the Lakers at risk and maybe even the league at risk, depending upon, you know, the matchups and the interactions. Like, that's the only thing I question. Well, and if he says I'm good and LeBron says he's good, then I'm good. But today, I'm just nervous.
The comparisons to Dennis Rodman and Michael Jordan are going to be inevitable because we just watched The Last Dance a month or so ago, and, you know, famously Rodman left the team to go to Vegas for a few days, and Michael Jordan signed off on it, and Michael was the guy that kind of kept Dennis in line when he was around. And it's not a bad example, but it's not accurate enough. This is not, hey, I want to go out and I might come home late and I might be hungover and I might not play my best. That's one thing that you can decide whether or not you want to deal with. If Dennis comes in and is not ready to go because he was out too late and had too much to drink, that affects Dennis and then to a point the team because he's not playing at his best. This is different.
Right.
This isn't just, hey, you need to get 8 hours of sleep and drink plenty of water so you don't cramp up the next day. This is if you go out and mingle and come back in, there's a chance that our season goes up in flames. There's a chance because if you get right. sick, we're going to get sick too. This is not just, hey, LeBron can keep him in line because, you know, Michael Jordan kept Dennis Rodman in line. Well, if Dennis kind of went away and came back, it wasn't a big deal. This is unique. This is a bubble where if you go out and come back in, never mind sabotaging the Lakers potentially. It could shut down the entire league theoretically, where if somebody comes right. back in, leaves the bubble and comes back in, and let's say the Lakers are playing the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, and he gets sick, and Kawhi Leonard gets sick, and Paul George gets sick, and Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Well, now what do you have? You just torpedoed the Western Conference. It's not just, okay, I'll do it, and if I get sick, I get sick. You're taking down everybody potentially. It's a big deal.
Right. It's a huge deal. And the reason why I keep bringing up tennis, because the number one player in the world blew it.
Yeah.
You have to understand this. The LeBron James of his sport couldn't keep it together. The Patrick Mahomes of his sport blew it and infected other top-tier players. So when I'm talking about, you know, J.R. Smith, it isn't because I don't like him. It's because we've seen what can happen when someone isn't committed to self-quarantining and keeping themselves and their sport safe. We see what can happen. It's unfolding in real time right here, right now. J.R. Smith is not the LeBron James or the Novak Djokovic of this sport. He's just a guy who's not even in the league. But what he could potentially do if he doesn't follow the protocols is impact the league as if he was the number one guy. And so when I ask who comes in, they have to know that they're carrying that kind of responsibility, not just about themselves and their own families, but really this sport and what it's trying to accomplish over these next couple of months.
Yeah, you want one guy who needs to go out and socialize could shut down the whole league. They need to really, truly understand the math of that. It's not just, oh, yes, I might get sick. It's, oh, the league might stop if I go do this. It is literally, I mean, Djokovic right. is the perfect example of that. All right. Good news for NASCAR until you actually stop to think about it. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Well, I appreciate the effort. This is what we're talking about. And I probably should have picked this, but this isn't on my list, Jorge. You need to take one of the ones that I asked. You know, I mean, I gave you.
You're being trolled by your friends.
It takes you back, man. That's why I played it. It takes you back.
Hey, man.
Friends being used loosely. You could have chose Thriller, Smells Like Teen Spirit, Money for Nothing.
I don't know if you noticed this, Travis, but I think some of these things are getting rigged a little bit. I've accused them of it earlier, about a month ago, and you guys were like, no, LZ, so nice. He wouldn't do that.
What are you talking about?
I don't see.
What do you mean,
I don't
rigged?
Know if you know that. Dude, you are being rigged, Travis. It ain't right. I'm
Thank
just
you,
calling.
Raj.
Maybe we got to relook at some of these. We got to recount
about,
some
Raj?
Of these votes. You know what I'm talking about? Trying to get in the goods with Janice on what pictures to put, and now you're trying to tell Jorge to play the wrong songs, only play yours. I see what you're doing over there. America sees what you're doing. America sees it.
Well, first of all, to Travis's point, Jorge's not playing anyone's song right now. So if you're going to come out of the break, it might as well be a song from somebody's list. And I'm not going to be ashamed that I picked my list because I'm proud of my list.
I feel really bad that I left Robert Palmer off that list. That was an error by me.
That video was so good, Travis. He did it twice.
If they wanted to re-release I'm Addicted to Love and just recast the band members, I'm here for it. I will download it. I will do it. I don't know if I bought a song off the internet ever in my life. I'll buy the new one as long as it comes with a video. That's an important song. So is this good news, LZ, that what the FBI discovered yesterday? Of course, the FBI was brought in after the noose was discovered in Bubba Wallace's garage. The FBI comes in, they do an investigation, and the investigation determines that this was not a hate crime, that this was not the action of somebody hanging a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage as a threat to him, against him, against his life, that this was merely there. That someone at some point had created this noose and used it to close the garage door or use it as a garage pull, that this was not a hate crime. It was just some random noose that was lying around the Talladega racetrack. Is this good news? Because it really doesn't feel like great news to me.
Well, it's good news in the sense of, and I tweeted immediately, thank goodness, it's good news in the sense that no one on the grounds that day definitively hung a noose to threaten Bubba Wallace's life. That is good news. That's why I tweeted, thank goodness. No one's rooting for hate crimes to sell some narrative. That's a stupid rationale. No one who's ever been in a minority group is sitting here asking to be a target of a hate crime. No one's asking
right.
to be a target of a hate crime. So it is good news that he wasn't targeted that way. But it is concerning that in a sport that was located in the southern region of the United States of America, with the history of lynchings that it has, it is disturbing that in this garage, they opted to tie a noose as a garage pull, as opposed to the little red ball we all know about, or a chain, or anything else. There's so many different things you can do that we've all seen that can pull down a garage in the event that the garage door opener doesn't work. You all know what I'm talking about. How many of you have decided you were going to tie a noose to use for your home garage? You know why you don't do that? Because you kind of instinctively know that the visual of a noose hanging sends the wrong message. So you're trying to tell me in the great state of Alabama that no one noticed there was a noose being suspended in their garage door?
Yeah.
And no one thought it was a bad idea? No one thought it was uncomfortable? No one – how about this, Travis? Forget the drivers and everything. What about the NASCAR staff and execs?
Right, right.
Sponsors. Like, no one noticed the noose hanging from the garage door?
This is my point, is that imagine if you walked into somebody's home. And you're a Jewish person, and you walk into somebody's home, and there's just a bunch of swastika flags lying around, and they're like, "Oh no, we didn't know you were coming over. This isn't about you. We just happen to have these lying around." How would they, I mean? That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. They didn't decide to have a water ski handle pull the door down. Right, they didn't decide to take a rope like from gym class and tie a knot at the end so you can pull it down. It's just a rope at that point.
No,
somebody tied it into a noose, and it was there since, according to the report, it was there since last fall. Okay, it's June, man. It's almost July. In a week, it's going to be July. It's been hanging there or sitting there or just in that garage for 9 months. And to your point, LZ, to nobody at any point, and this is where I have my biggest concern about this sport moving forward and their fight to make this sport more inclusive, to be an anti-racist organization, is that in the 9 months, nobody went through and said, "What the blank is that? Dude, get that piece of, you know, get that thing out of here, man. Take that down." They already think we're rednecks. They already show videos of a sea of Confederate flags outside. Did you not see that plane go overhead yesterday? Did you not see that? Right. Did you not hear the comments of Mike Skinner's son, who said that they wish they would have used the news to drag Bubba Wallace around the track? Nobody thought that this is a problem? None of the other drivers that had been in that garage, none of the other officials, to your point, a sponsor that comes in there to see this thing said, "I got my corporate logo on the side of that car. What the hell is that? What, huh? We're doing what?" Nobody since last fall said, "Guys, that's a noose. This is NASCAR. You don't think somebody's going to have a problem with that?" Nobody did that until we have the situation we're here now, where George Floyd gets murdered and all the other situations we have where everybody's awareness has been heightened and eyes have been opened and ears have been opened and we're listening for the first time, arguably forever. And we're realizing these images are incredibly charged and toxic and racist. And nobody said, "Hey, let's not use a noose to pull down the garage door." Nobody thought to do that. Come on, man. Come on, man.
And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because now people are trying to take this and use it to attack Bubba Wallace's character. And in attacking his character, now you're putting into question him asking for the Confederate flag to be taken down. See, this is what happens when stupid people are set loose with a fraction of information. Because Bubba Wallace wasn't the one who found the noose. He wasn't the one that notified NASCAR of the news. He wasn't the one who released a statement about the news. That was all done by the president, Steve Phelps, and that organization. Bubba Wallace was responding to what he thought was a threat against his life, a racist threat against his life. How is his character in question when you know the true chronology of all of this? And oh, by the way, the FBI still said it was a noose.
Yes.
They didn't say it wasn't a noose. So even though it wasn't targeted directly towards him, much of the reaction is justified because there was a noose swinging in the garage door in Alabama after he asked for the Confederate flag to be removed. That's like people may say, "Oh, you guys just done wrong." No, I'm relieved he wasn't targeted. But I'm going to tell you guys, listen carefully, listeners. I'm going to tell you this because it's the honest to God truth. I joined a tennis club in Pasadena recently. And I've always gone through the same doors to get to the court. I know I love the sport of tennis. But one day I couldn't walk down the same hall because they were working on something. Something was broken or they were painting or something. And I had to walk down a different hall. And when I walked down this different hall, there was a few pictures that were up for sale. Local artists, I guess. One of the pictures was a woman in blackface. A white woman in blackface hanging for sale in the halls of this tennis facility that I had just recently joined in Pasadena. And I swear to God, I'm not lying. I took a picture of it and I sent it to you guys. Now, was that picture painted and targeted towards me because I had just joined this tennis club, of which I'm one of the few minorities that walks around there? No, of course it wasn't painted directly towards me. But you know what it told me? It told me that no one walking through that hall, for as long as that painting has been up, looked at the blackface painting and thought, guys, what are we doing here? That was me that sent the email asking the question. No one else that I hit balls with, no one else that I may rely upon as a coach, no one else who worked as a janitorial staff, I'm assuming, went to management and said, guys, this racist painting needs to come down. So I know how Bubba Wallace feels in real time because I literally have been here in the state of California, in Pasadena. You're just minding your own black business and that's blackface painting hanging in your tenant. So again, I am relieved that the noose was not targeting Bubba Wallace. I am relieved by this. However, there was a noose hanging all around, multiple nooses hanging around this garage in Talladega, Alabama. And no one thought, huh, guys, what is this all about?
Right. It's hard to wrap your head around. It really is. And it speaks to the culture of that track and it speaks to the culture of that sport, or at least a significant portion of them as well. LZ, there's good news. There is free money in Vegas, assuming you're willing to follow the rules, which apparently no one wants to follow. I'll tell you what that means next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
See?
See? Again.
See? I mean, come on. 2-0? We're playing two of LZ's songs and none of mine. Okay.
Wait, how do we play two of my songs? What
is one of your songs? California Love.
Come on, man. California Love is part of our natural rotation. In fact, you should kill yourself for not picking the song that we play all the time.
I see what you're trying to do. We'll just, I can feel better knowing that this is perhaps an illegitimate contest. I know that my list is pretty good and we can just go from there. And then we'll leave it. And Jorge, I thought you and I were friends and now I'm feeling differently about the entire process.
Right over a song, okay.
Over two songs.
Man.
One wasn't legit.
I'll tell you what, I'm just looking at the TV here and they have Bubba Wallace on. And I just, for the life of me, I don't understand how this is somehow a victory for NASCAR and the people on the other side of this. Like the see. Yeah, I do see. You had a noose in the garage. Maybe you didn't put it there to threaten Bubba Wallace's life, but it was there and nobody really cared about it until somebody pointed it out to NASCAR. I don't know how this is a win for you. You know, you all jumped to it too quick. Not really.
Yeah. I don't get that. You know, what I really don't get, Travis, and this is the truth, I really don't get the idea that the FBI does this investigation and your first response isn't relief that Bubba Wallace's life wasn't threatened that day, but to run to Twitter to accuse people of jumping the gun.
Yeah.
Like, how do you skip that step?
I don't know.
How do you skip, oh, thank God that man wasn't threatened that way. Oh, thank God he wasn't charged. Thank God it was. You skip over his life and go straight to the aha.
Right. Yeah, I don't know is the short answer. It'll never make sense to me. Here, LZ, have you ever heard the phrase, if it's free, it's for me, or if it's free, I'll take three, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. People like free stuff. Sometimes they don't even know what it is. If people are giving something away, they'll just line up. I'll take it. What are you lying for? I don't know, but they're giving it to me for nothing. My wife does this. Why did you buy that? Well, I had a coupon for it. Yeah, but we don't have a dog, and you bought a bag of dog food. what are we doing here? So I get the people like free stuff. I get the people like a discount, but apparently they dislike wearing a mask more than they do free money, because a story in the USA Today says that Caesars Entertainment, which has five properties on the Las Vegas Strip, we're talking about Caesars Palace, Paris, Flamingo, mm-hmm. The Link, and Harrah's. If you were a gambler in one of their facilities and you were exercising the proper social distancing measures, if you had a mask, employees were going around giving you $20 in gaming credit in search of masked patrons, okay? Vegas giving away $20 to people wearing a mask at four of these properties. Do you want to take a guess at how much money they gave away? Think about it. Vegas, free money. Say it was,
how about
$200,000?
$10,000.
$7,500.
$7,500.
And it's all you had to do is have your mask on. And they couldn't. The people would rather not wear a mask, get coronavirus, or at least put themselves at a risk to get it, as opposed to having some free money. I get you want to gamble. Cool. I get you want to go to Vegas. Also cool. If that's how you feel that you want to go do it. But, dude, if it's free money, maybe you throw your mask on.
Travis, I had a friend that was out there recently, and for celebrating a birthday party that they had planned. And they were, it was craps or the blackjack table, and someone was giving them a little bit of crap for wearing a mask. Like, seriously, you got to wear your mask in here. You know, and they were, because no one was wearing them. And so if you wear a mask, you know, you might get a little bit of like side eye from people in Vegas right now.
I would be going back to the person handing out the vouchers one after the next.
I would have 50, 11 different masks. I would have a camouflage mask, and I would go back. And I have all black masks, and I go back, and then I have like a pride mask, and then I go back, and then I have an American flag, and then I would go back, and they would be going, "Weren't you just here, sir?" And then I would say, "How would you know? You can't recognize me. I'm wearing a mask."
Yeah, you're hitting all four of those different places, all five of these places. I'm just going walking up and down.
Oh God, yes.
$20. Yeah, hey, I don't know, man. So to kind of bring it back,
excuse me, sir. Weren't you just here?
You look
excuse
familiar.
Me, sir, weren't you just here? You look familiar. It's like, oh, I don't know. But we have a camouflage mask in here that looks like you. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, I'm wearing an American flag mask. I don't know who this camouflage mask person could be.
Sounds handsome.
Rich, man.
Sounds handsome.
Sounds responsible.
If you can't get people to put a mask on for free money, then what sort of chance do you have to get people to stay in a bubble? You know what I mean? Because right. They're already getting crazy amounts of money. And this is the challenge that these leagues are going to have, that it's not just whether or not positive tests happen, because they're going to. I mean, we just saw Nikola Jokic. You mentioned that. That guys are going to get sick. Guys are going to test positive for the virus. It's trying to reduce that by not going outside. And this is a perfect example of people they just want to do what they want. And I guess it's human nature. I mean, look, the second – they said you could go back to a restaurant. I went. I want to be out there. I want to be enjoying a nice meal or a drink or a date with my wife or whatever it is. I want to be out there. But the idea of not doing these other things, especially when it's not that big of a deal to begin with, is just bizarre to me.
Yeah, it is. It is. Listen, you know, when Key and I finished our march, what was it, like a couple weeks ago now, Sunday before last? We ended up at the end of the march and we went to the Abbey and they check your temperature and, you know, the whole nine, and this, you know, the staff's got the mask on and the seating's very spaced out. And it was the first time I had actually been in a restaurant since this thing happened. And it wasn't a plan, but it was like towards the end of something and we were hungry and blah, 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 blah. And it felt good to be out eating again. Mm-hmm. Also, it was fun trying to figure out who was hot when you can only see half their face. But it was nice to be able to. It was hard, Travis. It's very difficult. I feel bad for these sisters out here. the single sisters that like men with good teeth, and they got masks on, and so you won't know if they got good teeth or not until you're much deeper into the date. That's problematic. But anyway, it felt good to be out and eating in a restaurant again. I'll admit it. Ask me how many restaurants I've been to since then, Travis.
Zero. I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to give you a number.
Come on now, because it's not worth it. It's not worth the risk to me right now. To me.
No, and I live with my mom.
I live with my mother. I'm concerned about bringing something back to her. I will not do it unnecessarily. I will go and report on the people and protect myself during the protest. But just going out because I just want a bite to eat and not wearing a mask and all of that because it's inconvenient to me. Like, I'm just not there.
How about if I give you $20 to do it? Apparently that's not enough of an incentive either. All right.
That's not enough.
Take it or shake it is coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, LZ, we saw where Nuggets center Nikola Jokic tested positive for coronavirus. Let's take a listen to Brian Windhorst talking about more superstars potentially testing positive.
I think we're going to see more than we thought we were going to see. And, you know, look, there's some rumors out there, some guys. We'll see how many of them are true. I think a lot of guys were on the fence for a number of different reasons. And some of the reasons are like super duper important and legit. But some of the reasons are like, look, they don't want to get hurt. Yes, there's some guys who really want to focus on the Black Lives Matter movement. And that is really important to them. And they want to have them and their families focused on it. And some guys are worried about getting sick. All of those are legitimate reasons. And so I do think over the next 24 to 48 hours, we're going to see some names come up who don't want to play that maybe even surprise us. But we're also going to hear about a bunch of players testing positive. And I don't know how forthcoming the teams are going to be. And if I could be quite frank, media access to the teams in the next couple of weeks is going to be very limited because the media is not coming into practices, which we understand. We're not banging down the door to say that, but we're not going to know that there could be star players that are positive that they don't tell the team about. And so, or they don't tell the media about. So I think the positive tests, Jason, are going to be more of a shock in the short term than the guys who say they don't want to play.
The NBA champion will be determined by a positive coronavirus test. Take it or shake it.
I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take it, man.
It was some of the things I was talking about yesterday in regards to, you know, the names that we know and the numbers that we know doesn't mean that that's all that there is. And if you think that, you know, everyone that's a professional athlete is doing everything that they can to make sure their sport can start up healthy, just look at what's happening in tennis. The number one, I can't say this enough, the number one player in the world has coronavirus because they didn't do all the things that they were supposed to do to protect themselves, and they end up infecting other people, including other top-tier tennis players. So you're going to tell me in the NBA that everyone who's going to be expected to be in the bubble is doing everything that they should in order to protect themselves from getting infected? When Vegas can't even give you money till you wear a mask?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to take it. It sucks. But, I mean, let's be honest, right?
Yeah, no, it's going to happen because guys are going to sneak out. Guys are going to bring stuff in. It's going to happen. You just hope that it doesn't shut it down, and you hope that it doesn't alter the way that we crown a champion, that the players that we expect to be there are there. With that in mind, let's move on to the next one. Avery Bradley is not going to rejoin the Lakers. He has a son that is in a high-risk category, so he is not going to go into the bubble. That diminishes the chances the Lakers win a championship this season. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
You need depth.
Yes, it's diminishing the chances. Now, by what percentage is the question?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a death blow by any stretch. And this certainly isn't a situation where the team is now left scrambling to figure out how to go fill the void. They have guys on the roster that can fill the void. But Avery Bradley is a very good perimeter player for us, and he's a knockdown shooter. And so when you don't have that, and he was a starter, then yes, you have to assume it diminishes the chances a little bit. But I don't think it's a death blow by any stretch.
All right, let's go to, I guess this is a football topic, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. There's a video, a security video footage of him walking into his driveway at his home, and there are two bears in the driveway, and they both scare the you-know-what out of each other. The bears run one way, and Clinton Dix runs the opposite direction. LZ Granderson would have escaped alive if he saw bears in his driveway. Take it or shake it.
Shake it! Shake it! I know thyself. I would have crapped my pants if I had been rolling down in a scooter and ran up on a mama bear in her cub. I would have been frozen in time. God bless Ha-Ha Clinton Dix for being a football player. He had natural instincts that he caught the pass and he immediately took off. I would have been frozen in time. I'd be bear food right now. Bear food.
I'll tell you what, I've told you guys this. I've been going on hikes a lot during quarantine. I'm getting out of the house, maybe not every day, but pretty close to every day, going on a walk, and I hike through this canyon that's not too far from my house. I nearly stepped on a rattlesnake about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't know I could move that fast. I didn't know that I had the human ability to accelerate quite like that until that moment, because my left foot was coming down, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw something move, and it was about a 5-foot rattlesnake just kind of sliding through the wood chips, and I ran as fast as I've run in my entire life. So I have a feeling you would have made it out alive.
You think I would have survived? I would have survived.
Put it this way, if I can move fast, you can certainly move fast, because I didn't think I had it in me. All right, let's go to baseball. They're going to play a 60-game schedule, and the 60-game schedule is going to include the designated hitter in the National League and starting a runner on second base in extra inning games. Those rules are here to stay. Take it or shake it.
Can you repeat it again?
Designated hitter in the National League and starting a runner at second base to start the inning in extra inning games. Take it or shake it.
I'm going to shake it because I don't want to see it.
Oh, man. Come on.
Which one or both?
I don't want to start someone at second, man.
What do you want? You want seven-hour games?
I would much rather have Justin Turner's idea of ending on like a penalty kick sort of home run derby kind of thing, much rather than starting some guy on second base like we're in Little League and we needed like a tee to knock the ball off the tee or something. I don't want to do that to the game. I wouldn't mind ending the way that hockey is ended or soccer. I wouldn't mind and it's ended, you know, what they do, like the sets, the tiebreakers at the end of matches, as opposed to keep playing on and on and on. Mm-hmm. I would much rather do that than the second base thing. So I'm just shaking it, man, because I don't think I'm alone.
I want to take it for the opposite. The reason I like it, in particular, the second base idea, and you're right, it is kind of a gimmicky Little League sort of thing. The first time I ever saw this is when my daughter was playing softball, and it goes in extra innings, and they put a runner. I'm like, what the hell is that? Guess what happened? The game ended about 10 minutes later. It was over. And it works. And this idea of – I hear what you're saying about a home run derby, like soccer or like hockey has a shootout. And the shootout's kind of hokey and gimmicky. But what they do before the shootout is they play 3-on-3. They play a version of hockey that's not 5-on-5 hockey, but it's 3-on-3 hockey in an attempt to do it. Putting a guy on second base is the version of playing 3-on-3 hockey. That guy in the major leagues, if you can't get him in, you're not doing it right. And if you can't do it, the other team's probably going to be able to do it as well. The game needs it. The last thing Dave Roberts needs is to have his entire bullpen go up in smoke in a 16-inning game, and then the next inning, or I should say the next night, have a game where your starting pitcher gets busted up in the fourth inning, and now I got nothing to do. Now you've lost twice or three times. This will prevent those games from happening. It'll prevent a weird night where you play 15 or 16 innings, giving you a bad week as opposed to losing one game. That's why I like it.
All right. I hear you. I hear you, Travis. It's just, as soon as you tell me, and then we're going to put little Johnny on second, I just got one of mine.
All right. Let's do one more here. It makes you feel better that NASCAR says it was a garage pole and not a noose. Take it or shake it.
Take it. I am relieved that Bubba Wallace was not targeted by a hate crime. So I'm not going to conflate one with the other. I'm not happy they have nooses and no one decided that that was bad prior to this incident. But I'm at least happy that Bubba Wallace was not targeted directly after saying he wanted the Confederate flag down. I am happy about that.
Yeah, that's the good news. The rest of it is confusing at best and probably much worse than that. I lied. I got one more for you. Damian Lillard has a boxing video out, a pretty impressive boxing video. You'd rather see him go against Mike Tyson than Evander Holyfield. Take it or shake it.
Take it!
Oh, no.
Take it! He's already knocked out a former champ.
Which champ?
Obviously, that's true. Tyson. Yeah. I definitely want to. I would much rather see that. Much rather see that.
I'm looking at I kind of want to see it just for the curiosity factor. That first of all, I'm not sure. I mean, Mike's a professional fighter, so I'm not worried about Mike's safety. But a guy that's in peak physical condition like Damian Lillard, could he stay away from Mike long enough to make it interesting? Because once Mike gets his hands on him, Dame is in trouble. But I don't hate the idea on the surface.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap. But I'm relying on his speed and crossover dribble to keep him safe.
We will definitely see. All right. The Rams have a plan for their offense, and they're turning it all over to one guy. Is it the right guy? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.